Local leaders, top stories, the news that matters most to you. The News Drive at 5 with host Patrick Reynolds starts now.
Welcome to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk Radio on this Friday afternoon, 5:06 p.m. Eastern Time. Welcome to all of you. I am Patrick Reynolds. You just heard a great two-hour health block every Friday afternoon here on WSIC News Talk at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. The L Show is hosted by Dr. Nicole Eastman, and at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Health Talk with Dr. Fred Lowry. Each one has their own pharmacy and are great supporters of WSIC News. L Talk, 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and Health Talk at 4 p.m. Start your Friday afternoons right there as you lead into the News Drive at 5 with some good fitness, good health. Make you feel good as we head into the weekend. Your top 5 at 5 stories that we are tracking right now for the News Drive at 5. Three Iredell County suspects face felony charges. The Mooresville Police Department is looking for a missing teen. A Lincolnton man faces multiple charges as well. But Girls on the Run hosts their annual 5K next month, and classical music is coming to Davidson. 844 Studio 4, get you live on air. 844-788-3464. Listener hotlines are open. If you'd like to join the broadcast, we would love to hear from you. We are WSIC News Talk Radio. The most important thing about talk radio is listening. Our ears are open to you. 844 Studio 4, 844-788-3464. To the News Drive at 5, top local headlines and stories for this afternoon. An Iredell County Sheriff's Office investigation into illegal drug activity at a residence in Harmony culminated with the arrest of three suspects. Sheriff Darren Campbell announced the arrests of Darlene Campbell, no relation, of Harmony, Lenzel Boddy Jr. of Mooresville, and John Smyer of Hamptonville. Iredell County Sheriff's Office personnel executed the search warrant at 123 Gaither Park Drive. During the search, investigators located and seized crack cocaine, marijuana, a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, various prescription pain medications, and various items of drug paraphernalia consistent with the packaging and sale of illegal drugs. All three suspects were arrested and taken to the Iredell County Detention Center. Campbell was charged with felony possession with intent to sell or deliver cocaine, felony possession of cocaine, felony possession with intent to sell or deliver marijuana, felony possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and felony maintaining a vehicle or dwelling for the sale or use of a controlled substance. Magistrate Holler issued a $50,000 secured bond. Bodie was charged with felony possession with intent to sell or deliver cocaine, felony possession of cocaine, felony possession with intent to sell or deliver marijuana, and felony maintain a vehicle or dwelling for the sale or use of a controlled substance. Magistrate Holler issued a $35,000 secure bond. Smyer was charged with felony possession of cocaine, felony maintaining a vehicle or dwelling for the sale or use of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. Magistrate Thompson issued a $5,000 secure bond. All three suspects have previous drug charges, according to the Iredell County Sheriff's Office. In Mooresville, the police department detectives are asking for the public's assistance in locating a missing juvenile. Hannah LaForge, age 15, was last seen after being dropped off at school around 7 a.m. on Wednesday, March the 20th. Despite the efforts of law enforcement, she has not been located. LaForge is described as being 5 feet tall, weighing approximately 125 pounds, with dark red hair. She has tattoos of stars on her temple and a heart on her cheek. When she was last seen, LaForge was wearing a black sweatshirt, Christmas sweatpants, and had a Mooresville High School book bag. She may be in Charlotte, Mooresville, or Lincoln County, where she is known to frequent. If you have information about Hannah LaForge's whereabouts, or if you have seen her, please contact the Mooresville Police Department or Detective Saladino. In Lincoln County, a Lincolnton man is facing a slew of charges after body armor, drugs, and a stolen firearm were found in his home that had received numerous complaints from neighbors, according to the Lincoln County Sheriff's Office. Earlier this week, deputies with the Sheriff's Office and the SWAT team executed a narcotics search warrant at a property in the 1500 block of Old Lake Road in Lincolnton. Authorities had received several complaints from neighbors about the home and its owner, identified as 57-year-old Blake Hopkins. Undercover narcotics officers had been able to buy methamphetamine and fentanyl from the house prior to the search warrant being executed. While searching the home, officers found methamphetamine, fentanyl, marijuana, and a stolen firearm. Narcotics investigators also seized body armor along with several other firearms. Hopkins had been charged with the following: possession of a stolen firearm, possession of a controlled substance, Schedule 4, possession of marijuana, maintaining a dwelling for a controlled substance, possession with the intent to manufacture, 4 counts of selling and delivering a controlled substance, Schedule 2, 2 counts of possession of drug paraphernalia. Hopkins was placed in the Harvard A. Krause Detention Center, but has since been released. In Rowan County, thousands of dollars of guns were seized after a warrant was executed at 2 gambling establishments. Deputies executed warrants at Shark Tank on Statesville Boulevard in Salisbury and VIP 2 on Highway 801 in Woodleaf following a months-long investigation. During the search, numerous items were seized, including 3 semi-automatic guns, over $67,000 in cash, and 116 computers that being utilized for gambling purposes. Many of these locations have been a hotbed of criminal activity, including armed and unarmed robberies, shootings, and assaults. Many of these crimes go unreported as patrons and business owners do not want to be on the wrong end of legal troubles. Charges are expected and no names have been released in the investigation. The remaining gambling businesses will be issued a cease and desist letter, giving them a very short time to remove all machines from their businesses. Non-compliance will result in similar investigations that could end in property seizure and criminal charges. More from Rowan County, a Concord man who deputies said goes by the name of Batman has been charged with the murder of his friend. According to the Rowan County Sheriff's Office, deputies responded to calls regarding a shooting at 12:50 p.m. yesterday at the home along Crystal Lane. As deputies arrived at the scene, they found Jonathan Yancey deceased inside the home from a single gunshot wound. An initial investigation identified Cody Helms of Concord, who also goes by the name Batman, as the suspect in that an argument had taken place before the shooting. Helms, who deputy said was a friend of the victim, was arrested about 1 mile away from the crime scene after initially attempting to flee. He has been charged with murder and has been held at the Rowan County Detention Center awaiting his first court appearance. This is your Friday afternoon broadcast for the News Drive at 5 with your local headlines. We've got more news coming up about Girls on the Run, classical music coming to Davidson, town reports, and more local business. You're listening to WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds. This is the News Drive at 5. We'll be back right after this.
We'll be back with more of the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds in just a moment on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. The News Drive at 5 continues now on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Here's your host, Patrick Reynolds.
Patrick Reynolds taking you home here on the News Drive at 5 for your Friday afternoon, 5:18 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you so much for tuning in. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Audience hotlines are open. Feel free to join WSIC programming anytime. Back to the News Drive at 5. Stories that we are chasing this afternoon in Charlotte. A motion filed to reduce the bond of a suspect accused of shooting five people in Uptown Charlotte on New Year's Eve has been withdrawn. Davian Crawford of Charlotte had his bond previously increased from $750,000 to $1.5 million. On Friday in Mecklenburg Superior Court, his attorneys withdrew the request to lower it. Five people were shot during a New Year's Eve celebration at Romer Bearden Park, and Crawford was taken into custody and faces a slew of charges. Officers responded to calls regarding the incident around 11:30 p.m. that Sunday, where an initial investigation revealed one suspect, later identified as Crawford, fired multiple rounds from a handgun into a crowd, striking five people. None of the victims suffered life-threatening injuries. Medic later said three of the victims were transported from Church Street and the two others from a location on Graham Street. All victims were shot below the knee. Among the victims shot were two teenage girls and a 43-year-old man. In Cornelius, the Kane Center for the Arts has three parcels of land at the corner of School Street and Catawba Avenue under contract for an undisclosed amount. The prime site contains three folk Victorian-style homes, two of which the Kane Center will save. One of them will be used for a ceramic center, while the corner property, said to be in poor condition, will be torn down. The corner property could be used for an urban park, at least temporarily, said Justin Dion, executive director of the Kane Center. The properties, owned by Jennifer Beard and the Howard Legacy Trust, were originally listed at $1.6 million, with a fourth parcel included. It is not part of the deal. The three houses date back to the early 1900s, when Cornelius was starting a second life as a mill town. They're near the center of the prime redevelopment center of Cornelius. Mayor Woody Washam said he was thrilled, and he said, quote, "This is a wonderful enhancement of our downtown arts district and arts programming in our town," end quote. Preserve Mecklenburg played a key role in the rescue of the houses. PMI obtained a one-year option to purchase the properties, which are near the agricultural building on the grounds of the Cornelius Elementary School, where town officials hope to house a museum for local artifacts and photos of buildings that are no more. PMI led the effort to save the historic tenant house at the 55-acre Alexander Farm, where a $100 million-plus mixed-use project is under construction. The news comes as the Kane Center prepares to move the Cornelius Arts Center out of the Oak Street Mill this summer. The Cornelius Arts Center functioned as the home for community arts, ceramics, and shows dating back to 2009. Cornelius Parks and Recreation operated the CAC from 2011 until the transition to the Kane Center in 2021. The ceramics program, which was years ago thought to be the nutcracker or major draw of the would-be art center, will be suspended and ultimately moved to one of the historic homes under contract on Catawba. Justin Dion said, quote, "Not only will this opportunity deepen our commitment to ceramics, but it will also allow us to continue in our commitment to the revitalization of the downtown arts and cultural district. A zoning change will be necessary, but town officials say they support the plan." Dion said the Kane Center will seek private donors to help fund the acquisition. The contract purchase price was not disclosed. In Iredell County, commissioners approved a text amendment to the land development code regarding home daycares that increase capacity up to 10 children. County Manager Beth Mull explained that the state law regarding in-home daycare changed and the county is simply aligning its code to state law. According to Planning Director Matthew Todd, the county's code currently allows for 8 children at in-home daycares. Well, earlier today, Cornelius Fireboat 4 was scheduled to be christened along with two new fire trucks and a new police boat near the boat ramps at Ramsey Creek Park. That event was postponed today due to rain. A new date has not been set as of the news drive at 5 airtime. In Iredell County, Well, poverty is a reality for many individuals and families, but unless you have experienced poverty, it is difficult to understand. The Christian Mission, well, in partnership with iCare, will host an interactive party simulation on Tuesday, April 23rd, from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Selma Burke Recreation Center, located in Mooresville. The Christian Mission exists to break the cycle of poverty by providing crisis assistance, case management, and educational programming. The poverty simulation is a unique, enlightening experience that helps participants begin to understand the barriers millions of low-income individuals face daily. It moves people to think about the harsh realities of poverty and to talk about how communities can address the problem collectively. Most importantly, it encourages people to make a positive difference for their neighbors. The three-hour immersive experience allows individuals to walk in the shoes of someone who is facing poverty in realizing how complex and interconnected issues of poverty really are. Participants take on roles of everyday life for someone living in poverty and do their best to survive over a simulated one-month period. The simulation presents participants with real-life scenarios and challenges faced by people living in poverty. The exercise is immediately followed by lunch and a group debrief, during which participants reflect on the experience, discuss insight, and consider next steps. Sign up to participate through the link at thechristianmission.org by Tuesday, April the 16th. The Girls on the Run of the Greater Piedmont will host its annual Spring 5K event on Sunday, April 28th. At North Iredell High School. Preparation in the 5K event is open to the public as community runners. All proceeds from the event will benefit Girls on the Run of the Greater Piedmont nonprofit. Registration costs $30 and includes an event shirt, timing, and medal. Community runners will start the race at 3 p.m., followed by the stars of the show, the Girls on the Run girls, their running buddies, and their coaches. Early arrival is suggested for all runners. Girls on the Run is a physical activity-based positive youth development nonprofit program that uses fun running games and dynamic discussions to teach life skills to girls in third through eighth grade. During the 10-week program, girls participate in lessons that foster confidence, build peer connections, and complete community service projects while they prepare for an end-of-season celebratory 5K event. If you're looking to be involved, but maybe running isn't for you, they would love their helping hands as a volunteer on race day. For more information about the event, how to register, and volunteer opportunities, visit runsignup.com and under Find a Race, Girls on the Run of the Greater Piedmont 5K. In Statesville, Edward Jones financial advisor Ben Sohovich recently qualified for the firm's Impact Conference, which celebrates the contributions and achievements of 413 successful financial advisors from among the firm's more than 19,000 financial advisors. The conference, which includes financial advisors from both the U.S. and Canada, will be held May 6th through 9th in Scottsdale, Arizona. Sohovich said, quote, qualifying for the firm's Impact Conference is a great honor. I'm excited for this quality time with some of the top Edward Jones financial advisors in North America, as well as our firm's senior-most leaders. I'm always looking for new insights and ideas to elevate the value we bring to our clients, and I know this will be the place to find them, end quote. The conference brings together some of the top financial advisors, thought leaders, and change makers to sharpen each other's acumen. Through presentations, small group sessions, and networking, attendees will have opportunities to learn, share, and explore in ways that can inspire and redefine their practices. Chuck Orban, who oversees the firm's recognition events, said, quote, as some of the most successful financial advisors at Edward Jones, Impact Conference qualifiers have made a lasting impact on our firm. Over time, they have refined and consistently demonstrate the skills that result in successful team leadership and client service. These financial advisors clearly embody our purpose to make a positive impact in the lives of clients, colleagues, and others in our communities. Attendees were selected based on the success of their practice, their leadership, and client feedback. In Davidson, Spencer Bloom and Jacob Johnson smiled brightly at a ribbon-cutting ceremony to celebrate the opening of their new retail location, Bloom and Johnson Millworks. They were joined by many proud family members and friends as they stood in front of the new location at Linden Mill on Eden Street in Davidson. The two entrepreneurs are remarkably young. Spencer Bloom is 18 and is currently finishing senior year at high school as a busy multitasking homeschooler. Jacob Johnson is a few years older. He will be graduating this spring from the Belt College of Business at UNCC. The two have been friends since they were kids. We've got more from this story out of Davidson, these young entrepreneurs, after our break. You are listening to the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk. I am Patrick Reynolds. We'll be back right after this.
The News Drive at 5 will be back shortly on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC. Local starts here. Call 844-STUDIO-4 now to join in the conversation on the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9, 100.7 WSIC.
Patrick Reynolds taking you home on this Friday afternoon at WSIC News Talk with the News Drive at 5. 844-STUDIO-4, 844-788-3464. Listener hotlines are open. Back to Davidson, and continuing our story before the break, we began talking about young entrepreneurs Spencer Bloom and Jacob Johnson. Bloom and his family have lived in Davidson for 13 years. Johnson grew up in Mooresville and began developing the millworking business as a teenager on his family's Mooresville farm. Johnson is the grandson of Pfeiffer Johnson. Pfeiffer Johnson Bulldozing was well known for, quote, grading about half of Mooresville, joked Bloom. During the isolation of COVID, the two friends were restless and interested in developing skills and expertise in woodworking. They started out in an unused space in Mooresville, experimenting with chainsaws before moving to larger wood saws. The two were young enough to need adult supervision during their earliest efforts. Recognizing that they both had a passion for millwork and a dream to start a business, they incorporated their new business in August of 2020. The business is rooted in the sawmill in Mooresville, which contains ample space for multiple saws, kilns, and expanses for drying and straightening large pieces of wood. We have saws that can cut 60 inches in diameter or 5 feet across, which makes a good sized table, said Bloom. They currently house about 30,000 board feet of lumber, which according to Bloom is a measurement of volume, not length. Bloom explained that while they work with a lot of salvage or reclaimed wood from sources across the United States, the primary source of their wood comes from what he calls urban logging. In other words, when yard trees are cut down by homeowners, or when large numbers of trees are cut during urban or suburban construction projects, Bloom and Johnson Millworks reaches out to the tree services, construction crews, and landowners to request the lumber. Explained Bloom, quote, if we hear of a project where large trees are being removed, we can make contact by phone or stop in at the site and ask about salvaging the downed trees, end quote. He said that construction crews and tree removal services have virtually no incentive to salvage the trees that are cut down. Beautiful, valuable wood species are simply thrown away. If Bloom and Johnson Millworks can persuade tree services and construction crews to set trees aside temporarily at a job site, they can show up with trucks, hydraulic booms, skid steers, and other heavy equipment to lift and load up the large logs and rounds. Recently, Davidson's stream restoration projects has been the largest single source of wood. While the stream restoration project sought to minimize tree loss, some loss of large trees were necessary. Several landowners granted access to their property to remove large trees that were cut down during stream restoration. Bloom said that right now he is intent on trying to gain access to some of the large legacy trees that have been removed as part of the ongoing U-5873 project. He pointed to some photos of large piles of trees at the roundabout construction site on the border of Cornelius and Davidson. He said, quote, "We could rescue that whole pile of wood and put it to good use," end quote. But he hasn't gotten a firm answer from the crews. Once the trees are back at the mill, the owners assess how best to cut the wood for various uses. The wood is frequently used for fireplace mantles, bar tops, tabletops, ceiling beams, shelving, and many other creative design elements. Blum and Johnson frequently work with individual customers who have a specific design idea but need help selecting the right material for their project. Blum explained that freshly cut wood holds a lot of moisture and that preparing wood carefully takes time. "We prefer the bourbon approach," he said. "Long and slow is better for quality. Slowly air drying wood after cutting can take a year, even two, for larger slabs. The final drying happens in a large kiln, which ensures sanitation of the wood." After a few years of growing their millworking business, Blum and Johnson began looking for a retail location to display their material and designs. After walking through the 5,200-square-foot location at Linden Mill in Davidson, Blum and Johnson decided that this was the right place for their new showroom. Their Mooresville sawmill is only 10 minutes away. They like the Davidson location, and being close to established businesses like the Rumor Mill Market, Hairfest Coffee, CrossFit, and State Fair Donuts. They also were excited that the new space faced Jackson Street and would be easily visible to the busy farmers market traffic on Saturday mornings. They painted the office doors and bay door a vibrant blue to attract attention. Blum and Johnson began updating and outfitting the space in December. They painted the gray cinder blocks white and put in bright overhead lights. They established a reception area with a TV monitor to showcase examples and ideas, then added rows and rows of racks to help display wood. By early February, they started moving in product, slabs, rounds, finished and unfinished wood, reclaimed wood, and in all shapes and sizes for display. At the center of the floor are two large Curious Craft bins. The bins are filled with interesting pieces of wood of smaller sizes that people can buy for their own do-it-yourself projects. Customers can purchase smaller sizes of stain, varnish, lacquer, and epoxy on site so that they can practice with different effects at home. Additionally, Blum and Johnson have repurposed a fully enclosed interior room to the left of the showroom as a finishing room for wood that has been treated with stains, resins, oils, and epoxies. The enclosed room protects the wood from any particles or debris as it is curing. The entire retail and showroom space is in the process of being upgraded with advanced filtration systems to help clear the air of particles after cutting and sanding. Blum is excited about next steps. He looks forward to creating more finished wood products in the new space, working with homeowners and business owners to imagine and design creative uses for wood, and helping local do-it-yourself woodworkers to create their own design. A little bit more news out of Davidson. On Sunday, April the 28th at 3 p.m., Music at St. Albans will present classical guitarist Adam Kostler and cellist Ellie Wee, professors at Appalachian State University. This concert is preceded by a young artist performance at 2:20 p.m. featuring flute students of Shirley Gilpin. Access to the main parking lot is to the right of the church. The concert will be available via live streaming. For information about that option and tickets, visit musicstalbansdavidson.org. Recapping some of our top stories that we covered earlier in the news drive at 5, an Iredell County Sheriff's Office investigation into illegal drug activity as a residence in Harmony culminated with the arrest of three suspects. Sheriff Darren Campbell announced the arrests of Darlene Campbell, Lindsay Boddy, and John Smyer. Iredell County Sheriff's Office personnel executed the search warrant of 123 Gaither Park Drive. During the search, investigators located and seized crack cocaine, marijuana, a 9mm semi-automatic handgun, various prescription pain medication, and various items of drug paraphernalia consistent with the packaging and sale of illegal drugs. All three suspects were arrested and taken to the Iredell County Detention Center. Campbell was charged with felony possession with intent to sell or deliver cocaine, felony possession of cocaine, felony possession with intent to sell or deliver marijuana, felony possession of a firearm by a convicted felon, and felony maintaining a vehicle or dwelling for the sale or use of a controlled substance. Magistrate Haller issued a $50,000 secured bond. Bodie was charged with felony possession with intent to sell or deliver cocaine, felony possession of cocaine, felony possession with intent to sell or deliver marijuana, and felony maintain a vehicle or dwelling for the sale or use of a controlled substance. Magistrate Haller issued a $35,000 controlled bond. Smyer was charged with felony possession of cocaine, felony maintaining a vehicle or dwelling for sale or use of a controlled substance, and possession of drug paraphernalia. The News Drive at 5 continues on WSIC News. We'll be right back.
More of the News Drive at 5 after we pay the bills on 105.9 100.7 WSIC. Call 844-STUDIO-4 now to join in the conversation on the News Drive at 5 with Patrick Reynolds on 105.9 100.7 WSIC.
Patrick Reynolds taking you home on this Friday afternoon at the News Drive at 5, 5:48 p.m. Eastern Time. Thanks to all of you for tuning in to WSIC News Talk Radio. We love to feel connected and part of your community and bring you your local news and local headline stories. In Mooresville, the police department detectives are asking for the public's assistance in locating a missing juvenile. Hannah LaForge, age 15, was last seen after being dropped off at school around 7 a.m. on Wednesday, March the 20th. Despite the efforts of law enforcement, she has not been located. LaForge is described as being 5 feet tall, weighing approximately 125 pounds, with dark red hair. She has tattoos of stars on her temple and a heart on her cheek. When she was last seen, LaForge was wearing a black sweatshirt, Christmas sweatpants, and had a Mooresville High School book bag. She may be in Charlotte, Mooresville, or Lincoln County, where she is known to frequent. If you have information about Hannah LaForge's whereabouts, or if you see her, please contact the Mooresville Police Department or Detective Saladino. Certainly hope eyes get on her soon. Wish for a safe return and finding of Hannah very soon. Here at WSIC News Talk Radio, we would like to extend our sincere congratulations to our station owner, Justin Kazepes, as last night he received the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce Entrepreneur of the Year Award. The news came to us, well, the first hinting of it, I believe, was the suggestion or nomination by Joe Vagnone, the host of Local Biz Now here on Monday afternoons at WSIC News Talk. And Justin Kazepes accepted the award last night at the Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce Gala. Joining me through the glass is producer of the News Drive at 5, is host of The Scoreboard. Coming up at 6 p.m. tonight, Joe Berg is with me, as he is every weeknight here on the News Drive at 5. Joe Berg, I think we got a pair of hat tips to our boss and station owner, Justin Kazepes, for what he received and achieved last night.
I'm looking for my bell to give him a little like ring of the bell and congratulations, but oh, there it is. Congratulations, Justin.
I wonder if that bell meant as much to him as the actual plaque that he got.
I think
last night.
The bell was more important.
You think so?
I do.
I did not attend the gala last night. I have attended the Lake Norman Chamber Gala in the past. I've been to several of them. It's a wonderful affair. You and I were actually both on the air while the gala was taking place last night.
Yes, we
so
were.
While Justin was there accepting the award as Entrepreneur of the Year, you and I were in studio already working on next year's award for him.
Good to know he listens, right?
I hope so. Well, they might have been preoccupied at the gala last night and maybe did not tune in to us. But yeah, sincere congratulations to Justin, new owner of WSIC within the last year, and Entrepreneur of the Year for Lake Norman Chamber of Commerce. Wonderful for him and wonderful for all of us too. He's a great leader and a good owner, and we're very thrilled to be part of the WSIC News Talk family. Coming up at the top of the hour, the scoreboard with Joe hosts, gosh, weeknights at 6 p.m. And March Madness definitely off to some, is it off to some madness already, or is it kind of tame? What do you think so far on the brackets?
It was mad from the tip-off of game number one.
Right.
It was mad before we even got to the NCAA tournament, with NC State winning the ACC championship and last night getting a win.
Yeah.
It's crazy out here.
I predicted UNC to win the ACC title, maybe a little bit of rooting for them as well, but the logic told me they got it in the bag. State's not going to win it, and that was their first upset before the tournament started.
Yeah, and it's been a lot of upsets since then. You know, Duquesne, for the first time in over 50 years, winning an NCAA tournament game. Kentucky getting bounced in the first round.
Yeah, shocker.
Big shot. Well, kind of a shocker.
To me, it is. I've always seen Kentucky as a perennial powerhouse.
Yes, I believe it. They've now lost four of their last five tournament games.
Mm.
So not a great run here as of late. And they had some tough losses during the year where you just look at it and go, what's wrong with this team? Like, and I think they're just young. They're a really young team. Mm-hmm. So I'm not too surprised they got bounced early, but the first round is definitely surprising.
How is your bracket looking? Do you have hope for any salvage, or is it busted open?
I think I still have my entire Elite Eight, which is good.
Okay.
Which is good, but there's still some games left to be played today. I have never had a bracket that kept losing because I picked the Cinderella teams and none of the Cinderella teams were winning. We had a lot win, but I think I might have went a little overboard on Cinderellas this year.
You were looking for the upsets and they didn't quite really
I was.
Happen.
Well, it's the best part of March Madness.
Yeah.
That's what makes it mad.
Well, if we just did highest seeds, let's just take the four number ones, put them in the final four, and let's play.
Exactly.
So that's why you play the game.
That's not mad. When you have Oakland beating Kentucky.
Yeah. Whew. Madness, son. Madness.
Madness.
Okay. So we got definitely a college basketball NCAA tournament full show on the scoreboard. What else you got for the audience?
Well, coming up this weekend, we have the NASCAR Cup Series, Xfinity Series, and Truck Series races all at Circuit of the Americas. So we'll talk about that a little bit. I have made my prediction for the Cup race. I did that yesterday with a little bit of influence from you, I must say, as we were talking in the background before any shows started yesterday.
Did you take my pick for the winner?
I did. I took your pick, but you know what? It's a very good pick.
I think at first glance, say, who's going to win the Cup race Sunday? And you rattle off the usual suspects. And then you go down a little bit. You drill a little bit. And I'm not going to tell the audience because I want them to tune into the scoreboard to hear our pick for the Cup race.
Our pick. I like it.
So way down in Texas, Circuit of the Americas, NASCAR's had a big weekend. If you keep going down under, big story coming out of Australia today, speaking of fast cars.
Yeah, so...
what's up with that?
What's up with Williams, right?
Well, I know. I understand it with politics, but share with our audience.
Formula One is a lot more... I guess the word is political.
Political is the correct word.
Than NASCAR. Quite so, Alex Albon, the number one driver over there for Williams, wrecked his car in practice, and they didn't have enough cars to, you know, they couldn't repair it in time.
In Australia, you're not just going to run back to the shop in London.
You can't do that. So what they did was they said to their number two driver, Logan Sargeant, they said, sorry, buddy, you're not going to be racing this week. We're going to give Alex Albon your car. So on, I think it is Sunday at midnight, like Saturday into Sunday.
East Coast time, yeah. I think it would be late Saturday night. Yeah, early Sunday.
There will only be 19 cars on the grid because Logan Sargeant has been taken off. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just think it's some American discrimination. That's what it is. That's what it comes down to.
It's not, but
it's nice definitely try. Not.
Yeah. No, when those guys sign those contracts, they are clear that this is politics, this is business. There is a number one driver and a number two driver. And that number two guy, sometimes you got to drive under the bus for your number one guy.
Team orders are a business. Team orders are a thing in Formula
One. That's business. That's yes, business. That's the world of Formula One. Part of the sport.
It is.
Yeah. Okay, so we got fast cars, NCAA basketball. Is there any room for anything else on the scoreboard tonight?
Well, we're going to try to squeeze some NHL talk in there because tonight the Carolina Hurricanes are in Washington with a chance to tie the New York Rangers for the lead in the Metropolitan Division. They have been chasing them all season long. They're getting there. As we get closer to the end of the season, it's going to be a tight race to the end of the year.
As a Rangers fan, how do you feel about that?
Well, you know, I'm a Rangers number one, and then Carolina is definitely my number
Your adopted
two
new home, Carolina, yeah, as a transplant. New team.
I like both teams. I really do. So I'm not sure who I would pull for. I do know who I would pull for in the playoffs. I did. When the Rangers played the Hurricanes a couple of years ago in the second round, I went to two of those games, definitely decked out in New York Ranger attire.
How was that feeling of being at an away game, so to speak, but decked out?
You know, it's Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
So it's a little different than, let's say, if I was in Newark, New Jersey, in New York Ranger gear, watching them play the Devils.
Yeah.
Or even in Pittsburgh against the Penguins or up in Boston against the Bruins. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit nicer here in Raleigh.
Or like Philly or Chicago or somewhere.
Or somewhere
tough,
like
tough
that.
Places if you wear the away team.
Or even with hockey, Canada.
Yeah.
Don't want to get caught up. You know, they say they're very nice, but they take their hockey seriously.
They take their hockey seriously. Well, scoreboard coming up at 6 p.m. So this is Friday. This will give you a lot of material over the weekend. You're going to have a busy Monday on the scoreboard. News Drive at 5 here, weekdays 5 p.m. Eastern Time on WSIC. Scoreboard, weekdays 6 p.m. here on WSIC. Between now and then, I am back in action with Waves Entertainment. I am emceeing Rock the Lot, which is our first of our Super Sunday Funday series at Ghostface Brewing in Mooresville. Super Sunday Funday begins at 5 p.m. Wrong Way Trio is the featured performer. Music starts at 6 p.m. Sunday evening. I will see you all at Ghostface Brewing this Sunday with Waves Entertainment. Looking forward to it. In the meantime, for Joe Berg, I'm Patrick Reynolds with the News Drive at 5 here on WSIC News Talk. Have a great weekend. I'll see you Sunday.
Serving you better than ever before. 105.9 100.7 WSIC, Statesville, Mooresville, North Charlotte.